Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. This kind of knowledge is too much for me. It is so high above me that I cannot reach it. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on wings of dawn, stopping only to rest on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said, the darkness will definitely hide me. The light will become night around me. Even then, the darkness isn't too dark for you. Nighttime will shine as bright as day because darkness is the same as light to you.
I think this is the first time that I've taken the mic and needed to raise it because it's usually I'm getting it from Chris and he's way taller than me. Thanks for being here, everyone, and joining us today. I just want to say how grateful I am that we have carved out some time for Youth Sunday. Can we give a quick hand to our youth who have been doing awesome this morning? Okay. We had to talk them into everything that you're seeing them do today. Every little bit was like a battle, and they're crushing it, and I'm really proud of them. I'm really grateful to have this opportunity for Youth Sunday. It has really been a treasure to help organize and lead this youth group over the past couple years. Just 2 years ago, Oak didn't have a youth group, had never had one before. And all these kids were starting to crowd out the Godly Play classrooms, and so we needed a solution. So Oak Youth was born. And everything we've done over the last couple years has been an experiment. We're not a conventional youth group by any means. Like normal youth groups go on hikes in the woods. And when we tried that, we stumbled on an outdoor amphitheater, and kids just took turns singing songs that they made up on the spot. That's what a hike looks like with Oak Youth. In normal youth groups, there's always a handful of rebellious kids. That's normal. But on our first fall retreat, the kids explicitly asked us if they were allowed to break the rules. We appreciated the asking. Please always ask, and no, you may not. Normal youth kids are good at Fortnite, but our kids are good at cello and piano and singing and mandolin. Gwen and I talk all the time about how lucky we are to carry out our ministry with this particular group of kids. They're more kind and fun and Christ-like than any kids I knew when I was in youth group. But I don't think it's luck or any accident that these are the students produced by Oak Church. And especially by the Hoffman Wheeler brand of Godly Play. If you have a younger kid in Godly Play, maybe you're wondering why we go through all the trouble of doing Godly Play the way that we do. We hope that these students can be a testament as to why we do things that way. So I'm excited to have Youth Sunday today and to examine the scripture that we have before us, which is Psalm 139. Together, some of our students are going to come up just after me and open up our scriptures together. And we chose these topics because we think that they're the best things for our students to be learning, but they're also the best things for our students to be teaching. We chose this passage because the primary theme that we revisit every chance we get in Oak Youth is that God is close to you all the time, and God knows you even better than you know yourself. God knows all your hiding places for the things that you think are shameful or disqualifying of love. God knows the things that make you unique and funny, impressive and capable. God knows the things that scare you and has promised to be by your side through all of it. In other words, we teach all the time in Oak Youth that God isn't bound by the walls of our church, but God goes where you go and has a real interest in your joy and your prosperity. Somehow every topic we move through with Oak Youth, from the life of the Apostle Paul to sin in the cross, always ends up back here. God loves you and wants to be close to you. It's what we learned from Psalm 139. And it's on the one hand a good lesson for our students to be learning, because as you might remember from your own time in middle school and high school, it can sometimes be really hard to remember that you are loved. This is the time in life when friends can start betraying you, when sports teams cut you, when teachers sometimes criticize you. The work gets harder and less fun. There's way fewer crayons and chalk, a lot more algebra. There's more expected of you, and you might start to wonder what you're really worthy of. No one can survive middle school without some mixture of difficult experiences. And before you learn how to solve for X or memorize the stages of cellular reproduction, we think you should know that God loves you. And on the other hand, it's a good lesson for our students to be teaching. The central themes of our verses today are God knows you, God's always with you, and even darkness of all kinds cannot keep God away from you. For some reason or another, I think that each of these lessons become easier to forget in adult life. Adults don't want to be deeply known. The first verse says, "You've examined me and you know me." As we get older, we get more obsessed with this idea of having a private life. Our social circles get smaller, and we're more careful with who we trust and who we open up to. We make friends more slowly. But if you've ever seen a little kid make friends, you know that it takes about 2 minutes. Kids will run the whole relational roller coaster of meeting, becoming friends, betraying each other, vowing never to speak again, or worse, withholding a birthday invite, and then making up and promising lifelong friendship, all within about 5 minutes on the playground. You've seen it happen, I'm sure. But by the time we get to adulthood, we start to hold our true selves back from others and from God. And so our students are particularly qualified to teach us that God is near to us. If you've made it to adulthood, you've probably been convinced more than once that you're alone. Life has its way of selling us on that lie. But when you're a middle school student, at least in healthy and happy scenarios, you're never too far from a competent grown-up who can help you out. You can play and take risks without fear, knowing that when you hurt yourself, a parent or a teacher will be there soon to help you. So maybe it's not much of a reach to trust that God is always with you too. It feels instinctual for students in a way that unfortunately fades as you become an adult. So I think this is a lesson that we need to hear from them. And so before I hand things off to our students, I want to look closely at these first two verses. This is our reminder. God has examined us, and God knows us. What feelings does that bring up for you? Do you tense up a bit at the thought that God has seen something you would rather keep hidden? Do you feel uncomfortably exposed or judged? Verse 2 says, "You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even far away, you comprehend my plans." What feelings arise when you hear that? Nothing in these first two verses conveys particularly good news, at least not on their own. Imagine reading these verses if you thought God was full of hatred and condemnation. God knows everything and can foresee all your plans. If God's not good, that's really bad news. But if God is good, then this is the best news that we could hope for. You're known by someone who loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And so now three of our students have prepared some reflections on a chunk of today's passage. And so at this time, I'm going to invite Noah up to start us off.
You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all of my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me, front and back. You put your hand on me. It's so high above me that I can't reach it. I've recently been asking these questions to myself. How does God watch over, listen to, and protect everyone at the same time, 24/7? If we knew how truly and deeply God knows us, how would that change my everyday life? What does it feel like to have God's hand on my life? Morgan Harper Nichols, in her book, How Far You've Come, says, "I cannot hold my life in the palm of my hands, but I can trust that despite what I do not understand, I can take the next steps on my journey. The water will be deeper, but I will stay in this direction." What I think this means is that I can't control my own life, but I can trust in God to direct my next steps, even if I don't understand how it's going to turn out at the moment, and that I should not quit or turn back, but keep going in faith. As you start trusting in God more and more, you will find that only true hope, faith, healing, and happiness can be found in the Lord. What does it feel like to be truly and deeply known? What makes me truly known feels like someone getting me the perfect gift because they knew that I would love it. Or when I'm in nursery and a toddler comes up to me and asks, "How'd you get that boo-boo?" Or my parents knowing exactly the right time to ask, "What's wrong?" even when I haven't said anything. These are just little reminders that God knows me even more and better. Every year I go to this camp in the mountains with my grandparents, where we learn more about God, play competitive games at the bottom of the mountain, and mess around with friends in the creek. I started going when I was 3, and every year since I've been going, it's come to be my most favorite and peaceful place. The most special part about camp is that it takes place in the mountains. I feel like the mountains amplify God's beautiful creation and love, and the fact that I've been able to go for 10 years is when I feel like the Lord knows me deepest. I've changed from a toddler to a kid to a preteen going on teen there, and God's seen me develop and get older these past 10 years. Even though I've changed a lot, God still knows me despite my changes. He still knows what I love, what I do, who I'm friends with, what I want, and what I need. Coming back to this place year after year and worshiping with friends in Black Mountain has helped me know who I am and grow in God's love. So I guess being truly and deeply known feels like being cared about in all aspects of life, no matter what or who it is, and if it's big or small. Some people are coming in today exhausted from taking care of their baby at midnight, while some are coming in energized and ready for godly play. Some are mourning over recent losses, while some are uncertain where their own life is going to go. But if you bring all of that to God, He can help you and be tired with you and be happy with you and mourn with you and wonder with you. Bring your life to God and it will make you feel way less lonely and more deeply known and cared for. This is good news for us all today, that God is with us whether we're going or resting. God knows us and takes care of us and is always with us, with me when I'm up and with me when I'm down. Now Charlotte will say her sermon.
Verses 7 through 10 of Psalm 139 say, "Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you'd be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of the dawn, stopping only to rest on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight." These verses really stick out to me, demonstrating what's called the omnipresence of God. A lot of times I think of God's presence mainly presiding in sacred or holy places, like temples or churches. But in Psalm 139, it points out that God's presence presides everywhere. There's a different translation of verse 8 that says, "If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there." Sheol, I found out after some researching, means the place of the dead, the epitome of darkness. That's as far as from heaven as you can get. Yet He is still with us there. This verse states that while He is in the highest and holiest places with us, He also presides in the lowest and darkest places with us as well. He works through the darkness. He is not only with us in our darkness, consoling and comforting us, but works it into His great plan for us. He takes that Sheol upon Himself by dying for us on the cross, and while we may not know what His plan for us is, we can rest assured that He has a plan for us, and that His strong hand will always guide us. Now I'll hand this off to Owen.
Hi guys. My verses were Psalm 139, verses 11 through 12. If I said, "The darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me. Even the darkness isn't too dark for you. Nighttime would shine bright as day, because darkness is the same as light to you." Verse 11 starts with David wondering what would happen when times were hard. Would that hide him from God? Probably using his own past experiences as logic, he concludes that it doesn't matter how dark things seem, God sees us. God sees him because God sees differently than humans. God is there in the darkness. In other words, I think what David is trying to convey here is that God is always there, someone to lean on. In the Bible, you can't really get enough of this idea. God is with you. This phrase is used countless times, like in Deuteronomy 20 verse 4. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. And in Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And in Isaiah 41 verse 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The point being, this is a very important idea that God wants us to know about and act upon. I think a great example for a lot of people is the pandemic. This stressful, uncertain event had many people struggling in their own difficult ways. Whether it was being sick or not having enough toilet paper, it did a number on us all. For me, it was a hard time mentally. During the pandemic, I struggled with anxiety, and it was hard. In the darkness, God saw me, was with me, and helped me through it. As a result, I became more reliant on God. Like it says in the second part of verse 11, the light will turn to night around you, and you will experience hard times. But God is working through those hard times, while also caring deeply about how you feel, there to cast your cares upon. For those of us experiencing good or light times, joys, and triumphs, God is there to rejoice with us. For those of us struggling, even when we think our sins have made us distant, God is there to forgive us. And finally, for those of us who are suffering, God sees us and cares for us, which, if you think about it, is all kind of tough.
Wait, who put that up there?
All right. Now I'm going to close with a prayer. Lord, thank you for being there for us, for seeing us, for being everywhere. I thank you for this verse, and I pray that these were the words of God and not of us. In your name I pray. Amen.